You can learn a very important lesson from former secretaries of state that could make or break your company's government business portfolio. But it doesn't have anything to do with foreign policy, that lesson. That's according to Larry Allen, the president of Allen Federal Business Partners and right author of the Week Ahead newsletter. And he's here now to explain what you can learn from diplomats. Now, the topic, of course, foreign relations here, Larry. But you write there was one important tip for government contractors. What is that tip that we can learn from secretaries of state, Larry? Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Francis, and thanks. That tip is always know what you're willing to live with before you get into a negotiation. Don't try to worry too much about what you think the other side can live with. And I thought that was an interesting commentary. It appeared in last Saturday's Wall Street Journal. Peggy Noonan was writing about the testimony that George Shultz and other former secretaries of state recently provided. They were talking about the need to make sure that the U.S. had a strong foreign policy, which, of course, gets in the Wall Street Journal when government contracting might not. But nevertheless, the point's a valid one for contractors.
You write in the Week Ahead newsletter about that concept and knowing what your company's bottom line position is and sticking to it. Do you see it a lot that clients or companies potentially that you'll work with don't do it that way, that they just keep negotiating and negotiating and negotiating, and then after they are finished, after they agree to a deal, go, well, it doesn't look like it's so hot for me?
There are a number of companies that will do that, Francis. The most obvious scenario in which that happens is in a reverse auction when companies kind of get up, caught up in the excitement of a reverse auction scenario, and then they end up having winner's remorse. It's not limited to reverse auctions, but certainly you do get companies who feel that they have to get a contract award at any price, and that's really not the case because the price can be too high for you. If you end up with a contract that you're perpetually losing money on, what's the point?
You write in this piece, and we have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com, this message is especially important in today's government contracting world where LPTA is pervasive and agencies like GSA don't seem to negotiate as much as demand. And you write, while such tactics may produce short-term results, it's a long-term strategy that's doomed to fail. Fail for the company, yes. Also fail on the government side, too, because I talked about this with your successor at the Coalition for Government Procurement, Roger Waldron. And Roger's point was that the agencies eventually are going to ask things that contractors can't deliver because they won't make any money. And there's no point in being in the government space anymore if you're not going to make a profit. And my thought is that long term is a bad strategy for the government, too, because eventually they won't have anybody that's willing to produce a product or a service at the price that they want, unless it's a crappy product, and nobody wants that either. So everybody loses, it seems to me, in that scenario.
Well, I think you're exactly right about that, and that's why the government, I think, particularly some quarters, need to recast their view of how they get along with contractors. They are, in fact, business partners. They're not perpetual adversaries. And to your point, and Roger's point, that if all you're really interested in is a lower price, there's always going to be someone who is going to at least publicly offer you that lower price. But the question is, is that company reliable? Or are they going to be able to fulfill your needs? And if you're their lowest priced customer, how much service are you really going to get relative to companies that are a better fit for them? So
yeah, I'm not sure the government wants to be in the business of doing business with the last company standing.
Francis, I have to tell you, I think you're exactly right. And yet I was in a meeting last week at the Department of Defense with some of their procurement policy leaders, and part of the feedback that's relative to this conversation is They're looking merely at the sheer number of companies that are coming into the market and not the ones that are leaving. And my question to them was twofold. One is, have you focused on the number of companies that are interested in doing business? First of all, how many companies have walked away from government business? And secondly, what is the quality of the companies that are coming in behind them?
Well, yes, especially as opposed to the companies that are leaving. How much experience are those companies that are exiting the market taking away in exchange for the companies who are coming in with no government experience?
Well, certainly there's a need for better oversight of contractors, particularly contractors that are new and may not always know all the rules. In fact, you find that on the other side today in the government, where you have a lot of contracting officers that are new or newer and don't understand the rules themselves. So if you have inexperienced people on both sides of the table, your costs are going to be higher than you think they are, and you're going to spend more time than you need managing the process.
Larry Allen's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners. You mentioned reverse auctions a moment ago, and you're writing about them in the newsletter this week also. You write, despite FedBid woes, we shouldn't expect reverse auctions to disappear. But we are seeing a lot more pushback, I think, than we've ever seen. And it's not because of FedBid exclusively. There are more and more folks, in especially on the contractor side, that are saying, you know what, it's just not worth it to participate in that format anymore, and I'm just not going to get involved. It's pertinent to the comment that you made about winner's remorse.
Well, that's exactly right. And the thing that's interesting to me, Francis, is that we're seeing a resurgence in interest and use of reverse auctions and at the federal level. We last saw this maybe 15 years ago when reverse auctions were proclaimed as the cure-all for the government's acquisition woes, and very quickly a number of procurements at that time were disastrous for both government buyer and government contractor. And we kind of saw it cycle down, but now it's back, and it's probably back because of tight budgets. And because intrinsically, there's nothing wrong with a tool like reverse auctions. The problem is when you use the wrong tool for the wrong job. If you look at reverse auctions, for example, at the state government level, they're used to buy things that are strict commodities. The classic example is road salt. The state of Pennsylvania has used reverse auctions to acquire road salt for close to two decades now. And that's a situation where it works great. Where you start to lose efficiencies and create problems is when you get into things like more complex IT buys, statements of work that are not particularly well defined so that the contractor isn't really sure what it is they're bidding on. And yet, you see people saying, well, it worked well here. Look how much money they saved. Why can't I use it over here? Well, you can't use a Phillips head screwdriver for every job.
I've tried, Larry. God knows I've tried, and you're right. It doesn't work, which might be the situation here, a different way of looking at the situation, too. It might be the right tool, and somebody wants to use it the wrong way.
Well, there's that as well, and I think that probably was some of the issues with FedBid. And then you do have companies who, let's face it, do try to game the system. They'll lower the price during the auction, and as soon as they win, they'll go back to the agency and try to renegotiate something a little bit higher, figuring that they've been designated as the awardee, and the agency doesn't want to go back and open up the procurement again.
Doesn't work that way.
That's not fair either.